This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
It's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't.
The Fan.
Judge. And I judge everyone, one by the one. Look, here come the judge. Watch every time.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Monday. Thanks for being with us. However, Mondays are going well. We can now live report on what the weather's like outside. We have that ability. It's no longer a, can you text us and let us know if it's raining or snowing outside? Our windows are all open up in the studio.
And it is currently partly cloudy, but really
looks beautiful out
sunny
there on the river.
There.
Let's go jump in, man. I'm ready. I'm ready for spring and summer season. Is it warm yet?
No, it's like 20 degrees out there.
Oh, okay. Well, our windows are open. That's our big update of the day. We can all see outside. We're no longer in a cave, and we are enjoying every moment of it. Although rather distracting, there are folks who walk by our building along the waterfront here, and they just stroll. I don't know if they could see in the window or not.
They can
see in the window.
I always thought it was we could see them, they can't see us.
One of those two-way mirrors, like we're interrogating people. So if you want to come, you can come watch the show
from
outside the window.
No, you are officially the orangutan exhibit at the zoo right now.
Okay, nobody's come up and pounded on the glass yet. I'm waiting for that, like a hockey fight.
Well, because I don't think they're going by, most of them are running or jogging. I don't think they realize.
They're not paying that close attention.
Yeah. Yeah, so the people are walking by.
You're an exhibit at the zoo right now.
This is solid. We got windows all over the place, man. I'm enjoying it. So coming up in the final hour, get back into the AFC-NFC title game, some other football stuff we need to get to, including the Thursday night football deal. And I want to get to a TV show coming here in a moment, but I do want to start with this. Since we're on the NBA kick, I'll just keep going. The NBA season, you know, it's close to starting for a lot of people, Sprague. Begins after the Super Bowl, so only two more weeks.
But don't poke the bear.
No, it starts in 2 weeks. So we're
just ease up on him. He's wearing a mullet for you. Come on. Have some sympathy.
Who's going to win the title this year? We're 2 weeks away, man. I can't wait. It's a lot of intriguing storylines. Sign me up, man.
You're such a jerk.
So one other NBA story since we're on the kick here. There's one from Woj, another Woj bomb today. He's bombing all over everybody. This one, thank you. Has to do with San Antonio and Kawhi Leonard. Now, if you haven't followed this, Kawhi Leonard's been out basically all year. I think he's played 9 games. He's got this quad issue. He came back and played, and then he hurt a shoulder. It's been weird, and they can't quite figure out what's going on because Tony Parker had a much worse injury, and he's back 7 months later, yet Kawhi Leonard not healthy enough to give it a go. They sent him back. They're basically shutting him down for the short term and potentially long term until he's completely ready to go. And Woj is reporting now that throughout all of this, through the treatment, the rehab, timetables, all this stuff, it has had a chilling impact, that's what Woj says, on the Spurs and Kawhi Leonard's relationship with the franchise and coaching staff. Now, Buford, their GM, and Popovich are both kind of denying this, saying it's not happening. But multiple sources describe Leonard and his camp as distant and disconnected from the organization.
Which is funny because Leonard's camp also talked to former Blazer beat writer Jabari Young, who is back in San Antonio, and they told him that the Woj ESPN story is 100% false. So when everybody comes out and responds and, no, it's not like that. It leads me to believe, one, Woj doesn't just make up stories to make up stories.
It's Woj.
There's validity there.
It's Woj.
Now, I also don't buy that this is relationship damaging. Is he frustrated? Absolutely. And you know what? He should be. He's played 9 games this year. They really want him to rest. They really want him to be 1,000%. Because if they're going to stand any chance in the West, it's going to be with him. Don't forget, game one against Golden State, they were winning that game. And in my opinion, kind of dominating the way it was being played. and then he stepped on the ankle, rolled it, gone, boom, you lose the series. So I think San Antonio is going for the long game yeah, here.
They have nothing to play for in the regular season. Exactly. They're just fine without him. 30-18.
Be a 3, be a 4. Yeah. You can get by with LA that way. You'll win your first round matchup, and then it's just about having Kawhi Leonard locked in. But is he frustrated? Yeah, he should be. That's a guy that wants to play. A lot of these players got bonuses. They have future earnings riding on what they do during a season. All NBA first team. All defense, defensive player of the year. A guy like Kawhi Leonard, that stuff matters. And to take it away, even if he doesn't necessarily want it because you're thinking about the title, he might be okay winning a title and being a team guy. I'm sure he is. You also have to think the other side of this, and that is, unfortunately, the selfish part of it.
Yeah. It's just been weird to follow because if you remember going back to before the year started or kind of right at the beginning of the season, every time they came out and talked about the injury, it was very short term. I believe the first quote that Popovich had on it said he would probably miss the beginning of the preseason, maybe most of the preseason, but he should be ready to go for the start of the year. Like, that's how this all started was, yeah, I mean, you know, he missed preseason, no big deal. Be back for the start of the season. And then it was, well, it's moving along a little slowly as he didn't play the first couple of games and he continued to miss time. And he had a quote back in November saying he'd never encountered something like this. And it'll be strange to follow just to see if he's able to get back to where he was. It's right quadricep tendinopathy, I believe is what the terminology is. And as I mentioned, Tony Parker had a same injury, but even of a more severe level. But he was able to come back and play in a short period of time. He's now on the bench. That's another story about the Spurs. But that's the Woj report from the day. Everybody's denying it. As you mentioned, it was Jabari Young and Kawhi Leonard's folks are saying, no, this is not happening. Buford and the Spurs are saying, no, there's no issue with the relationship. But when Woj writes it, I believe it. I don't really care who his sources are, where he's hearing it from. It's Woj. He's the best there is. He gets the scoop before anybody. He found out today that Jason Kidd was fired before Jason Kidd, and he well reported it before Jason Kidd had found out. So there's some validity behind this. And well, it'll be interesting to watch and see if it's the health that just changes everything. And if he's able to come back and play in the playoffs, that just smooths the relationship back over.
0 to 15% chance the Spurs would do the trade that I made on the trade deadline for Portland. CJ and Shabazz for Kawhi Leonard. Or no, CJ Shabazz and a first round pick for Kawhi Leonard and Patty Mills.
Zero.
Because it works.
Zero.
The trade works.
Zero.
And they actually think the Spurs are better than the Blazers with that trade.
Really?
Yeah.
With Dame and Kawhi and Nurkic still.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, somehow.
That's interesting.
Well, you know, the plus minus crap that they use.
So go play the trade machine. Have some fun with that. We can all dream about Kawhi Leonard being in a Blazer uniform is his, according to Woj, his relationship with the Spurs, not going well right now.
They've never had, I don't think they've ever dealt with a disgruntled player other than maybe LA in the offseason, but they figured that out.
LA
right?
demanded a trade. LA had enough of dealing with Popovich, and Popovich has said he's coaching him completely different this year.
He basically succumbed to his wishes.
Yeah.
You can be the number one, co-number one.
Yeah.
We'll dump it down to you in the post. They were making him a perimeter player.
You know, you're number one. Sure, fine.
So in that span, they've only had one player that's been disgruntled.
It's weird, right? Maybe it's a new thing with the Spurs. People are tired of Popovich's act. Duncan's gone. Some of the leadership's getting old. Yeah, something to follow in the NBA. Hey, I want to get to this quickly. I know we're up against it, but I wanted to bring it up. Did you know that there is the potential? This is in the early stages.
A deal? Mega deal?
Not a mega. Well, a mega deal of some sort.
Oh.
To turn the Mighty Duck movie series into a TV show.
Oh, God. You're talking about that? Yeah, I saw this by Sports Illustrated. It's going to be terrible. Why would it be good?
Could be coming to the small screen near you, a source tells The Hollywood Reporter.
Great. I can't wait to watch no-name kids depict the child actors that I watched in the actual movie. Can't wait for Goldberg the goalie to not be the funny fat kid that he was in the 90s movies.
Oh, bummer, Brandon, man. Come on. Quack. Quack.
No.
Quack.
No.
Quack.
Sorry.
Quack. Doesn't do anything for you?
No. I'm out. No.
You know what they called it, by the way? They said the 1990s dramedy.
They call it a dramedy?
They called it a dramedy.
Yeah, it kind of is. You think about the first one.
A little drama in there.
Adam Banks. A little drama. Having to play on the Ducks. Emilio Estevez going against his former coach. He had the DUI issues.
Yeah, he did.
It's a little dark. He was hooking up with a player's mom, but she was unsure of it.
That's true. There were some darker stories in there that we weren't quite aware of as
kids. Quack, 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 Mr. Duckworth.
So that's happening. Thought I'd bring that up. They're in the works. No network is attached to the project yet, but at some point they want to get to it. I do have another TV note we'll get to at some point, as the Thursday Night Football deal, it looks like, is wrapping up. And it could be changing locations this upcoming year. So we'll talk about that at some point. Get back into the football games as well. But let's have some fun with Philadelphia, shall we? Philadelphia won the NFC title game last night. They're going to the Super Bowl. And the folks in Philly, they know how to party. What did it sound like? Next on The Fan. Hey, we'll relive the games coming up here, bottom of the hour. AFC-NFC title game. We got a Philly and New England Super Bowl. What does that do for you? But we all knew Philly fans, I mean, they're on their own level a little bit. And there are all sorts of reports from just the past couple of weeks. And, you know, the momentum was building for a wild afternoon in Philadelphia, as there were pictures released early in the morning of people walking around and putting Crisco on the light poles so people couldn't climb it potentially should they win the game. The workers called themselves jokingly the Crisco Cops. And after they won, yes, there were fans who still climbed the light poles successfully. I'm curious how many people did it unsuccessfully. But if you want an entertaining afternoon, go just start YouTubing Philly fans reacting to the win. And we thought we'd have some fun with that because, well, they are unique. They got into a fight with a police horse before the game and a couple of cops. That was the scene from the parking lot. There was one cop that was trying to disperse a crowd of partiers and tailgaters. And a guy walked up and punched his horse and then punched the cop standing on top or sitting on top of the horse. So that was how the afternoon started. Then they went and all hell broke loose. We'll start with the old gentleman, as people of all ages celebrating the Philly win.
Very, very, very good. You know why? Because the international news taught us we couldn't do it last week, and then we did against Matt Ryan. And then this week we did it against the Vikings, baby. Where was there a defense this week? Nowhere. You know where they were? In South Philly, the last place they wanted to be.
By the way, that guy looks exactly like Kevin Todd. And he had a 4 or 5 year old on his shoulders as
nice.
He was doing that rant. Yeah.
Solid parenting
yes.
right there.
Yes. And his face was fully painted.
Dad of the year.
That kid is going to grow up psychotic.
Yeah, he's going to have the same fandom issues.
Hey, little Harry, why can't you seem to stick it out in these relationships?
I don't know, man. I don't know what it is.
And then Eagles games come on and we realize what it is.
The next one, there was a fan out there that just turned out to be, he just really big fan of Nick Foles, man.
I was expecting a victory, but not a blowout. How about you?
Oh, my God, my heart can't stop racing right now.
Yeah.
Amazing win. I don't have a voice.
Yeah, no, oh my God. How about
amazing.
You?
What
Yo, you it's think? Crazy. Wentz goes down, big Nick Stephens.
All right. Sorry about that, but this is live television, folks.
Okay, well.
Did that get through?
I think, okay. All right, there you go. Philly
if you
fans.
Say so.
Philly fans excited about the win.
I don't know if Swag knows what we're talking about.
Were they bad enough to get people to drastically root against them? Like the performance that the fans put on, because there were videos of them doing the skull chant to like lone Viking fans walking out of the stadium. They yelled cuss words at the 100-year-old Viking fan who found her way to Philly.
They basically threw beers at the team Viking bus when they were trying to leave the stadium.
Yeah.
I don't know if they got a lot of people because the hatred for New England and the dynasty run gets to people. I do think they did a great job of getting a good percentage to sway them and go, you know what? I'd much rather have New England do this again. This is what I was talking about.
This is
about.
What you're going to have to put up with. Imagine, like, yes. This is just the NFC title.
If they beat Brady and the Patriots with Nick Foles,
they knock off Brady in the Super Bowl.
What do you think they're talking about going into next season with a healthy Carson Wentz?
We're the new Patriots.
Watch. It's going to be bad.
This could get bad.
It already is bad.
Yeah, somebody's saying, I hope you guys do this segment after they lose in the Super Bowl. We'll go find it. Yeah.
We'll seek it out.
We'll for sure go find the stuff from fans if they lose this game. That's the tough part, though, is I understand both angles. Like, their fans are about as bad as it could get. And when you read There was just a bunch of different pieces out there of the experiences of Viking fans and what they went through. Now, to be fair, Viking fans didn't do themselves a lot of help. They went on the steps of the museum and did the Skull chant. They decorated the Rocky statue in Vikings gear.
Did you see the mall one? Mall America?
Yeah. What they did before in Minnesota.
That was pretty badass.
The Skull chant inside inside the mall.
Right, but their thing is, did they go to the steps of Philly? Like, yeah, it's a big deal, the Rocky statue thing. I mean, they just did the Skull chant, though. Like, they're not punching police horses and vandalizing actual stuff. I mean, they may have done that in frustration after a loss, but I'm saying leading into the game, their big deal was the Skull chant. Yeah. I mean, that was the big deal. That bothered Philly fan.
It was funny. Somebody texted in earlier. We were talking about the Super Bowl matchup, and it makes some sense. It's saying these are the two worst fan bases you could get to play in a Super Bowl.
I completely disagree with that.
Who's worse, in Philly or New England?
In terms of like being obnoxious?
Yeah.
I think Cowboy fans pretty bad. And I mean, respect to Jason Swigart because I don't think he's one of them. I know far too many in my life, and I know how they would be if they won a Super Bowl again. Trust me, man. I'm telling you, I'm around it. I see it all the time. My brother is a Cowboy fan, and he's obnoxious now. They've won one playoff game since 96.
Yeah, they haven't done anything.
And he's still obnoxious. So I would beg to differ. I know Boston's not great. And I know they can annoy people. I think Cowboy fan may beat them in that category.
You said, don't forget the Raiders. Yeah, Raider fans are always pretty bad.
But Raider and Niner fans are known to have violence to where you're harming other human beings.
Yeah, people are getting stabbed and stuff. That's not good. It was a crazy scene in Philadelphia. Watching some of those videos, there was a guy driving around on top of a car. Like, there was a camera picked up a guy sitting on top of a van.
Just casually.
Driving around the middle of the city. And as the camera pans, then there's this giant dude not wearing a shirt and like wearing a mask walking around the street. I think the tweet, I think it was a Barstool thing. I retweeted it basically saying there are no laws anymore in Philadelphia. They are all out the window.
Philly news stations, I saw a reporter there said they were actually, all the Philly TV stations were nervous because they know you have to go live. You have to be on the scene.
Yeah, what's going to happen.
But the amount of F-bombs and everything else that got through, they can't do anything about it because it's live TV. And it happened.
You got to go live to the stadium. You got to do it, man.
I think we owe it to the listeners. For those that maybe missed, I know we pulled this because Swigart got it. The John Malkovich intro for the AFC title game was superbly well done.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen, this was before CBS put this together. They got Malkovich to do the teaser for the Jags and Pats game, and they played it right basically on the outset. It was released on Twitter earlier in the morning, so you could see it before the game. But for those of you who missed it, this was CBS's tease with Malkovich before the AFC title game.
No, sis, I think you've overcomplicated this story. I mean, this is one of the simplest, oldest stories there is. This is an ancient story from olden times, okay?
It is the story of David versus Goliath.
Okay, well, maybe that was a little much, but it's not that much.
The story of the mighty giant against the tiny underdog. The story of the overwhelming favorite against the long shot with absolutely no chance. But the point is, what does football teach us?
Anything in the world can happen on that field. Anything.
You always have a chance. We absolutely know it in our bones. Look at what Bortles, Fournette, and the Jaguars did only last weekend. You say yes, but now it's against the Patriots. It's different.
You are fighting a giant.
They don't have one Goliath. They are two Goliaths. Brady, Belichick, relentlessly. The machine stomps on.
That's where I'm thinking you should cut in the NFL footage.
And Fournette goes airborne. Sensational. Brady delivers. It's caught. Jacksonville is pouring it on.
Look at that play.
This is the NFL's David.
Incredible.
Versus the NFL's Goliath.
Sheer domination continues.
For the right to play in the Super Bowl. It's that simple.
I mean, that's what I would have said. You know, otherwise it's too complicated.
I loved it.
That was fantastic.
Because the tee up too is, there's like 2 minutes before that speech, He is in like an empty auditorium going around. He's reading this script that CBS wants him to read.
Trying to come up with something creative to say.
He's getting frustrated. He like brings his agent up. He's like, I don't like this. It's terrible. It's not good. And then he goes and meets the director, and then he gets into just skewering the actual script and does his own thing, which is, you know, still written, and that's the commercial, but
right.
Golly, goosebumps.
That was great. It really was. And it turned out to be the game of the day. There's no doubt. But yeah, we'll see what they end up putting together. It's NBC with the Super Bowl. We'll see if they can try and top that for their little pregame teaser. I will say this just on a broadcasting note quickly. I thought Tony Romo had his best game of the year on that AFC title game. He was fantastic on Sunday.
Yeah.
You didn't like Tony Romo?
No, I liked him, but
really?
I don't know if that was his best game.
I thought it was. His enthusiasm was great. He was on point. He didn't point out too many things. Didn't spoil any big plays.
Yeah.
Well, you're poo-pooing Tony Romo.
You guys
have been jocking Tony Romo all year.
I have.
Yeah. Now I say one positive thing, and you just take a dump all over him.
It felt like he had too many moments of saying the obvious.
Well, that's what color commentating is. There's only so many things you can point out.
He's been good at pointing things out that I haven't noticed. That's what Collinsworth does. It's the... Aikman's really good at this. It's the... They need points here. They need points, Jim. This field goal, they need these points.
Yeah, I know.
I'm well aware.
Wow.
I can see the score.
Okay, dumping all over Romo. I see how it is.
He didn't take anything away.
Dumped all
it
over.
It didn't add. It didn't take anything away.
See, I think it added. I thought it was really good. Imagine that game with Phil Sims.
We talked about early in the week, Jim. We got it going. Remember that? We talked about it.
There you go. Let's get back into those games, shall we? AFC title game lived up to the hype. Brady's big comeback in the fourth quarter. And then what happened, Minnesota? Where'd you go? Get back into the AFC NFC title games next. Hey, you know what else is right around the corner now, too, now that we're almost to the Super Bowl?
The Pro Bowl.
The Pro Bowl is this weekend. Waste Management Open.
Oh, yeah.
Coming
Phoenix.
Up. Less than 2 weeks, man. It's kind of the official golf season, if you will, for some folks.
You're forgetting what's going on the PGA Tour this coming weekend.
Tiger's playing this weekend.
Yes, Tiger is back at Torrey Pines.
Mm-hmm. It's his first tournament in how long?
Exactly 1 year, as he bowed out with the missed cut with his back flaring up at the Farmers Insurance Open last
year. Tiger Woods. Oh, you didn't even know. Yeah, he's playing first tournament. I even have the golf channel on with you here.
Well, you always do that to me, though.
By the way, you had a...
exciting playoff to finish
up the web.com gentleman's name who you had on the show?
Daniel Miernicki.
So he tweeted us this weekend because he's a huge Eagles fan.
Yes, he is. I saw this.
And I was just watching because there's nothing else on TV, so I turned on just to watch golf in Hawaii, because why not when you can watch golf in Hawaii?
They're in the Bahamas, and this is actually live.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever we were watching earlier, he hit a big shot, and he had an Eagles hat on, and the camera was on him, and he started flapping his arms doing the fly, Eagle, fly. I was like, hey, look at that. Guy's a P1 of our show.
You should tweet him back with the show page. Hey, dude, saw you on TV doing the fly, Eagles, fly, man. Congrats.
Just saw you flapping. He tweeted us, it is happening, gentlemen.
Yeah.
It is happening.
I think he was aware of some of the comments that had been made on this show about his Eagles.
Ah, yes. Nick Foles sucks, and they don't stand a chance in hell.
We'll see in the Super Bowl. Good for him, though. He was fun to talk to.
So, that happened over the weekend. AFC, NFC title game. First game was great, close. Patriots come back and win. Second game was a snoozer. And it's one of those things, you get it with dominant teams. It just felt like it was just a matter of time with New England. Watching Jacksonville play really good football in the first half. A couple of boneheaded decisions that didn't help them. Coaching-wise, not calling a timeout for the delay of game penalty. Taking a knee with 55 seconds left. But even outside of that, they were still in control. At least when you looked at the score, you looked at the stats, you looked at the time of possession, the way they got after Brady, they were in control of that game. But it whenever you have Brady and Belichick combined, it just, I don't know, until you see that final kill shot, it doesn't feel like it's real. And you were just waiting and waiting and waiting. There it was, 14 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you know, that is the tough part, Dirt, is you sit there and you watch Brady operate and you watch New England come back in the second half and you're just sitting there. If you don't want to see New England do it, you're hoping Jacksonville makes just that one play. And they had their opportunities. Stephon Gilmore made a hell of an effort to break up that pass on fourth down. I thought Leonard Fournette's, he was good all day, but that effort that he didn't have, or lack thereof, on that pass from Bortles with two and some change to go on the sidelines, didn't understand that. They're going to kick themselves. The delay of game at the end of the first half, the going into the first half with two timeouts instead of trying to get something with 55 seconds to go. You're just going to look back and Doug Marrone's going to learn from it. That team is going to learn from it. But ultimately, what you're saying is 100%. I was watching that game in a sports bar. I don't know if there was a soul in there, even if they hated New England, that didn't think Tom Brady wasn't going to end up leading them to a comeback drive at the end of the ball game to get the go-ahead touchdown. That's who New England has been. That's who they are. And to watch them operate, as much as you may not like them, it's truly special because I don't know, as many dynasties as we've had, I don't know if we've had a team close to the level of attention to detail that this team does. You remember the Seattle play, no timeouts. Malcolm Butler said, we practiced that play all week.
Mm-hmm. They knew that slant was coming.
The Stephon Gilmore play on 4th and 14, D.D. Westbrook gets behind him. Gilmore jumps up, makes an incredibly athletic play. After the game, they asked him about it. We had watched that play all week on film. They ran it in the game. We knew it was coming. And the coaches basically told me to play the ball, not the wide receiver. And that's what he did. Their detail is just next level. It's Hall of Fame stuff. I'm not a New England fan, but you have to just admire what they're able to do when they need to do it.
Yeah, you got to respect it. I understand the crowd that wants to see them lose, and you don't want them to be around anymore, and I get that. There is a certain aspect of it, and you have this in every sport, that no matter your hatred level of a team, there's a certain aspect of respect that you just have to have, and I think you have to appreciate. And that's kind of where I was with New England. It was strange. I didn't want Jacksonville to go to the Super Bowl because the thought of a Jacksonville-Philadelphia Super Bowl just did nothing for me, and I at least wanted some intriguing storylines going into that game. Can Brady win 6? Can Philly get their first? Can Nick Foles beat Tom Brady? Like, those are at least intriguing storylines to me going into that ballgame. So I found myself rooting for New England, and it was weird, but there's just such an appreciation level for the way that they execute late in games. And, you know, we were talking about halftime adjustments in one of the other games earlier in the show, and that was something to me. Like, in the first half of that game, they couldn't move the ball to save their life. Brady was under pressure all day. He couldn't get comfortable in the pocket. They had that opening drive, they got 3. They had the last drive where they got 7. Outside of those 2 drives, they didn't do squat on offense in that first half. And there they were in the second half. It got off to a slow start in the third quarter. But when they needed drives, they called the plays. Brady made the throws. About the 3rd and 19 completion he made. To Amendola. He hit Brandon Cooks on one that Cooks dropped that would have been perfect earlier in the half. Like, he just was on the money, and he made those throws. And even with Kobe, I got this. Like, I hated Kobe Bryant for what he did to me as a Blazer fan. But when he got to the end, it was like, you know what? You appreciate the greatness. You're never going to see him play again. And there's a certain aspect of that with me with Brady. You just don't know how long it's going to last. This could be it if the report from Wickersham is true that they're done and they can't get along together. So as awful it is as it is for fans who wanted 2 fresh faces and 2 new teams, I'm at least going to take the couple of weeks here before the game to appreciate what they've accomplished and just watching them play, because it is unbelievable.
No, no doubt about it. And, you know, this might be the last run as they're currently constructed. We know the coordinators have head coaching gigs. I legitimately do give Philadelphia a great chance to win this game. I know Nick Foles is not a great pick, and it's hard to bet on Nick Foles to beat Brady. I think that defense is next level, and I think they have what it takes to match up pretty well with New England. But it is betting against Tom Brady. It is betting against Bill Belichick and his attention to that detail. There is an element of taking it in. You're right. And saying, you know what? Maybe this is your last run. It's my last chance to root against you. Not root
for my last
you.
Chance to hate you.
Yeah, it kind of is.
You know,
because you know New England, once they lose Brady and Belichick, that team's going into the crapper.
No, they're not going to be around.
You know, you can only have a reign for so long in the league to that level, and we've almost never seen it to this extent. 18 seasons.
Look at the Lakers now. Look what they've been since Pete Kobe and Pau Gasol.
Exactly. It's no longer the reign supreme in the league. So I'm going to enjoy it. I know it's maybe Jacksonville for a lot of people was the team that they wanted to see upend them, but to see Tom Brady go out there and do it with the hand, you know, for the first hand, the hand injury was the biggest deal in the world. Everybody wondering, he doesn't look right. He can't hold the ball. Right. Well, the second half he does it, and I don't hear a peep out of those people.
Not an issue anymore.
So maybe it was the hand, or maybe it was just a really good first half by Jacksonville. Either way, you get the Pats right back in to defend their crown and go for the 6th one.
And really, the only bummer of the weekend for me out of these games was not getting 2 good ones. Because the first one lived up to the hype, man. You get a comeback like that in the fourth quarter, and Brady, you know, leading them and throwing touchdowns. And then, as you brought up a couple of times, the Gilmore play, Jacksonville even had a chance to regain the lead. Like, they had their opportunity. even after that, they had a chance with timeouts. They just couldn't get a stop on that third down run when Lewis ran around the edge. So you had a great first game. The only downer was the blowout in the second one. And I was holding out hope. I know it was 24-7 at the half. You're like, all right, Minnesota can maybe get a stop, get a score here, make it 24-14, and this is going to be intriguing. They came out, they scored right off the bat. I felt like in the third quarter, and that was it. That was the only downer for me, was getting a blowout in the NFC title game.
Yeah.
That sucked.
But I think that's a credit to Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, they play great. They had the game of the year. They're phenomenal.
Well, because the first drive by Minnesota is scripted, and for them to go out there and march right down and get that touchdown, I know you were thinking, we're probably thinking the same thing for opposite reasons. Here we go. Minnesota showed up. They're in Philly. That crowd doesn't bother them. They went right back down on that field, and they went and got a touchdown. To watch Jim Schwartz and that defense make the adjustments, get the pressure on Keenum, make him turn the ball over three times, that's why I buy into the Super Bowl matchup. It may be Brady and New England that hoist a sixth Super Bowl trophy, but I think that defense by Philadelphia and Jim Schwartz has what it takes to at least give Nick Foles and the offense a chance here, because they've been doubted twice. I don't think we've ever seen a one seed in NFL history, at least in the Super Bowl era. I don't know if we've ever seen a one seed that's been an underdog in all their games in the playoffs.
No, they were the first, I believe, in the divisional round to host a divisional round game and be a dog.
And maybe there's been an underdog in the conference championship game with the home team, but I'm talking sheer one seed. I feel very confident in saying I don't think we've ever seen that in NFL history.
Yeah. Yeah, for all the time, I mean, somebody said every game New England plays, they get a controversial call, it goes their way, it's disgusting every game. Fine. I understand the frustration with officials. I get it. How about Jacksonville calls a timeout and doesn't allow a delay a game because you get a first down on that play? How about instead of taking a knee with 55 seconds left in the half, you try and accomplish something with two timeouts and score and maybe go into the half with a bigger lead?
Like, it's just upsetting for people that hate New England and see one penalty the whole game. The only thing that I had a problem with ref-wise...
Let's not act like Jacksonville played a perfect game and the only reason the Pats won was the refs. That's ridiculous.
Well, the only problem that I had officiating-wise, the Gronk call... I mean, 6 years ago, that's not called, as my brother-in-law pointed out. That's just a clean hit. And Richard Sherman pointed out also, what's the safety? What's Barry Church supposed to do there? You go at the knee? Then you're a dirty player. Do you let him catch it? Now he has a 30-yard gain.
Right, you got to try and hit him in the gut somehow.
For sure.
Put your shoulder pad in the chest.
But you're running full speed and tough. Gronk is 6'6".
That's the right call. I mean, that's the rule book now. You can't hit a guy helmet to helmet.
My only officiating problem, I didn't like the pass interference call on their drive at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
I know Chris Carter was adamant about that. I didn't like that call.
Bouye ran him out of bounds. And
a little hand touching going on, but I think for the most part, they're running stride for stride, and his body just kind of, his momentum pushes him to the sideline a little bit. I don't like that call.
Yeah, somebody said, let's not act like the Pats played a perfect game as well. I'm not saying the Pats played a perfect game. I'm just saying the only reason they won that game was not because of the officials. And I don't like that. It's a weak narrative to me to come out. Every time New England plays, we like to give somebody else credit instead of looking at this. I hate New England, man. I hate that I have to do this. They've been doing it for 18 years. You think they've been winning 18 years because officials have been on their side? Let's stop it. Give them a little bit of credit at least, can't we? So, yeah, good weekend, AFC, NFC title games, and, yeah, the refereeing one was something that stuck out to some folks. But here we are. Now we know the Super Bowl matchup. I'm curious where people are rooting. Where's your rooting interest? We'll update the poll questions. One of them is on that. Also, I saw a crazy stat I wanted to bring to you guys, and I'm curious. Don't look it up during the commercial break. So Belichick is the active wins leader in playoff victories. He continues to mount on his NFL record. And I'll give you what his number's at now. Can you tell me who's second in active wins?
In the playoffs?
In the playoffs as a head coach. Get to that next on The Fan. I looked at you. Hey, I gave you the stat going in. So Belichick won the AFC title again. That's his 28th playoff victory.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 28th AFC championship because I wouldn't have called you a liar.
I think they've been in, that was their 12th together, I believe. And they've now won 8 or 9 of them. 8 of 12, I believe it's at now.
18 seasons, 8 AFC titles.
God. Got to the game 12 of the 18 years.
That's crazy.
Think about that for a second. But this, I saw this stat just because it put it into context, just how separated that gap is between number one and number two of current head coaches. Do you know who's number two on the current head coach win list in the postseason?
So I guess this actually, as soon as we went off break, I just threw out the first name that came to my mind and I got it right. I threw out Andy Reid because I was trying to think longevity. I don't think anybody else is more tenured than Andy Reid.
He went to the 5 straight NFC title games.
And because of that, I picked Andy Reid.
So it is Andy Reid. And you know how wide that gap is? Andy Reid has 11 postseason victories.
I was thinking somewhere around there, yeah.
11. So there's your gap from number one to number two in current playoff wins. Because my first thought was Tomlin. He's got the Super Bowl. We've been around a long time. They've won some playoff games. Tomlin doesn't even have 11. And then maybe Pete Carroll, who had been to back-to-back Super Bowls.
Nope.
Won a playoff game over Carolina, so no, 11 with Andy Reid. That's number two.
Yeah, and it just goes to show the difference there. We didn't talk much about it last week. There was an incredible write-up on Sports Illustrated about the Nick Saban-Bill Belichick relationship and how they're built the same, and they became friends because Saban was on his dad's staff at Navy, and they had dinners together, and they secretly met up, and they talked football all the time. And the thing that Saban said is, you even go back to Cleveland, and I hate to do this to Cleveland Brown fan that might be listening, but Cleveland has got to be kicking themselves more than anybody. Because for those that don't quite remember, when he was coaching Cleveland, he had built a pretty special team, like one of the best defensive teams in the league that actually helped Nick Saban get his gig at Michigan State. But they had come close. They lost to Pittsburgh. And instead of remaining patient and letting Belichick build it, they straight fired him. And then they moved to, I think they moved to Baltimore and fired him. They didn't want to bring him along to Baltimore. So you just look at what he was doing. He was doing this in Cleveland. He turned Cleveland in from a dumpster into a somewhat a contender again. And so I know it's hard to foresee 18 years and 12 championship title runs coming, but you still have to recognize great coaching when you see it. And for him to do that in Cleveland and for the Kraft family to say, all right, we don't have Parcells, we're going Carroll. You know what? Actually, Carroll's fine, but we like Belichick more. For them to recognize that in the moment and to stick with it even when they got to a slow start,
yeah,
I think it's a credit to that organization, which is why I hate the whole, who do you give credit for?
Right.
Everybody.
Everybody gets it. Poll results quickly. Mark Stein said the Blazers will move on from C.J. McCollum. What do you expect them to get in return if they make that move? 65% said get a legit wing. What team is more likely to return to their conference title game next year? 52% went with Jacksonville. Who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? 70% going with Philadelphia. So the fans not swaying that. What QB is more likely to start for their respective team next year? 74% went with Bortles in Jacksonville over Keenum in Minnesota. And then how about this split on the DeAndre Jordan trade rumors? Do you want Olshay to make that move? Almost 400 votes, 50-50. Yes.
Nobody, no. Oh, there's not like a...
It's not a clear consensus.
Right.
50% say yes. Good defensive player. Good rebounder. 50% say no. It's a lateral move. So there you go. Good little show today. If you missed any of it, Les Rob Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. If you want to see Sprague's mullet and all that other good stuff, you can find it at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. So we'll tweet out the podcast as well. That'll do it for us. Thanks for being a part of our Monday, everybody. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.